We do not often read, nor do we find the Lord Jesus standing still. He was ever on the move. He went about doing good. That is the testimony that was given to him. He went about doing good. He was constantly active, constantly energetic in the great purpose and work assigned to him by his Father. You remember the Lord said in the temple, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He was always engaged in the Father's business. Now on this occasion he was on the move, making his way through Jericho toward Jerusalem. He's getting near to the cross, and he's going there. He has set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem in order that he might die, that he might pay the ransom price to redeem his people. And he's on the move in the great task of fulfilling that redemptive purpose. But here we find in the verse 49 the Lord Jesus stood still, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. What was it that constrained Christ to stop at this particular moment? What was it that brought the Son of God to a standstill? I think that these words are powerful words. And Jesus stood still. He's going about doing good. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem that he might redeem his people from their sin, complete the great redemptive purpose of God. But now, en route, he stands still. He's brought to a standstill. It wasn't doubt or hesitation in the task that he was assigned to, nor was it fear. The thought of drawing back from the cross never entered the Savior's mind once. It was no unworthy motive that thus halted him, but rather it was a cry. The sound of a voice, not the voice of a king, not the voice of a wealthy, rich ruler, but rather the voice of a blind beggar. So powerful, so gripping, it arrested the mind and the heart of the Son of God and caused him to stand still. And Jesus stood still. Stood still. There was a great multitude there. We read of that in verse 46. A great number of people following after him. But the Lord didn't stand still for the great multitude. It was rather this blind beggar. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. The cry of a blind beggar that brought the Son of God to a standstill. What a sight. What a sight of condescension. What a sight of consolation. Surely there's consolation here for sinners. Here's this blind beggar in his poor condition. And yet the Son of God stands still for him to hear his cry. And there's consolation here for the people of God, for the saints of God, that the Lord Jesus is the Savior who listens and hears the cry of his people. He stands still. He's never too busy to turn us away. He stands still at our cry, to hear the cry of his people. If you look at this picture here that's painted, the Lord is passing through. He's passing on. He's passing through the city of Jericho. And he's leaving the city. He has gone through, in verse 46, as he went out of Jericho. He's moving away from this area. And yet the cry of faith, this man's cry of faith, detained the Savior. I think there's a wonderful encouragement. There's a wonderful consolation there. Perhaps it could be said tonight of this community. Perhaps it could be said of this country that the Lord is passing through. He's passing on. He has come in the past and manifested His power, but now He's passing on. He's going somewhere else. Going to other places. Yet the cry of faith can and it will detain the Savior. It will cause Him to stand still. And Jesus stood still. What was it that brought the Savior to a standstill? It was the faith of this man's cry. This man cried in faith. And this faith made the Lord stand still. What kind of faith was it? Well, you'll notice in the first place, it was a faith that perceived. A faith that perceived. Bartimaeus was a blind man. But he could see many things. In fact, he could see things that other people there who had their physical sight could not see. They enjoyed the brightness of the sunshine, the color of the various flowers, the beauty of the scenery round about them. But there were many things they did not see. And yet this man who never saw the light of the sun or the color of the grass or the flowers or the scenery, this man who had dwelt in darkness all his days, was able to see something that many of these other people couldn't see. His physical plight was great. We're told in Matthew's Gospel that there were two blind men on this occasion. Two blind men. And here Mark informs us that one of them was called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, that's a Hebrew word. And when you find that word bar, it is always really a transliteration of the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word for son, Simon Bar Jonah. And Bar Jonah means son of Jonah. Or we might think of Barnabas, the son of consolation. Well, here we have Bartimaeus. And when you break it up, it simply means Bar Timaeus, son of Timaeus. And you can see that his father's name, the English equivalent, the English translation is given to us in the next phrase, the son of Timaeus. So Bartimaeus is the transliteration, the son of Timaeus is the translation. That's what it means, the son of Timaeus. Now that word Timaeus is an interesting word. It also is a Hebrew word and it means to be unclean or defiled. To be uncleaned or defiled. Son of one who was unclean or defiled. And I think it may well have been the case that the defilement that was in view here was blindness. When you read Leviticus 21 and verse 18, you'll find that one of the illnesses that prevented a man from carrying out priestly duties was blindness. In fact, it is set at the head, at the first. Blindness made a man ceremonially unclean, defiled him. And it may well have been the case that this description here, son of Timaeus, means that he was the son of a blind man, a man defiled by his blindness. I do not know if it was the case, but I think it could possibly have been that the two blind men who were sitting by the wayside begging were father and son. It may have been the case. I cannot say for definite, but I think the fact that we're given this name in Mark's Gospel and then we're told in Matthew's Gospel that there were two men, it could possibly mean that Bartimaeus was here along with his father. And so this man is in a great desperate situation. He's in a great plight. He has been blind and he's facing great adversity because he has to beg for his living. Not able to work. Not able to do anything for his living except to beg. And does it not set before us and remind us of the plight of mankind spiritually? Where is he sitting? He's sitting at Jericho. What was Jericho? It was the accursed city. The city with the curse upon it. Cursed is he that rebuilds this city. And here we find this man sitting. He's blind. And he's begging. He's in a poor state. He's in a desperate state. There's a great affliction upon him. And that's the picture of all of mankind spiritually. Under the curse. Blind and spiritually bankrupt. Begging. What a picture there is. And yet, this man had faith. This man had faith. James tells us about those who are poor in this world, but they are rich in faith. And here was a man who was literally poor and had to beg for his living, and yet he was rich in faith. He had a faith that perceived. A faith that could see something that many other people there that day could not see. For in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He perceived who it was. He had not seen the Lord physically. Not beheld his form or his image. And yet as soon as he heard who it was, Jesus of Nazareth. He had never met the Lord. He had never seen the Lord. But as soon as he heard who it was, he immediately perceived, this is the Lord. Jesus, thou Son of David. That was the description that was applied to the Messiah. The one who would come from David's line. The promised Savior. That's what Bartimaeus is referring to when he describes Jesus as the Son of David, the promised Messiah. And then you see in verse 51, when he's brought to the Lord, he describes him as the Lord. The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." You see, he has this perception of who it is. It's the Lord. It's the promised Savior. It's the Messiah. There were many there did not perceive that. When he asked who it was, they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." But Bartimaeus knew it's the Lord of glory. It's the Lord of glory. Many did not perceive who he was, and yet this man had a faith which perceived. And it perceived not only who he was, but what he was able to do. "Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me." And that word mercy means to literally relieve my misery. He's able to lift me out of my condition, out of my plight. He's able to relieve my misery. He's able to change things around. He's able to make the difference. What a faith this man had. Faith in who Christ was, and faith in what he was able to do. That's the faith that brings Christ to a standstill. And Jesus stood still. He had a faith that perceived. But then notice, secondly, he had a faith that prayed. The second characteristic of his faith is that it was a praying faith. He couldn't see what was happening. He knew something was happening. He could hear. He could hear the commotion. He could hear the crowd. He could hear the noise. But he couldn't see what was happening. But as soon as he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, we are told in verse 47, he began to cry out. He began to cry out. You see, his faith began to pray. True faith will always be a praying faith. Remember Ananias, when he doubted the conversion of Saul, the Lord said, "Behold, he prayeth." That was the evidence. That was the sign. That was the sure distinction that Saul had been converted. And now this man is praying. As soon as he heard it was the Lord, he began to cry out. And faith will always begin to cry. It'll always express itself in prayer. That's the characteristic of faith. Comes to the Lord in prayer. Seeks Him. His praying was direct. He says, Jesus, thou Son of David. He's praying to the Lord. He's calling to the Lord. He's not calling to anybody else. I'm sure as the crowd was passing by, he would have called out and asked what's happening. And he was asking other people, but as soon as he knew it was the Lord, he directs his prayer to the Lord. Jesus, thou Son of David. True prayer is always directed to the Lord. The story is told of a famous preacher who was the what you might say, I don't know if chaplain is the right word, but the chaplain to the president. I think it was President Johnson, the president of the United States. And on one occasion there was a very serious matter came before the president. He called in all his advisors and he called for this preacher. And he asked him before they began the proceedings if he would pray. And the preacher started to pray, but he was too quiet for the president's liking, and the president shouted out, he said, speak up, I can't hear you. And the preacher said to the president, I wasn't talking to you, Mr. President. I wasn't talking to you. You see, prayer is addressed directly to the Lord. We're speaking to the Lord. Here's this man, and he's directing his prayer to the Lord. Jesus, thou Son of David. It was a specific prayer, not only direct, it was specific. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Relieve my mercy, my misery. Change my situation. Intervene in my circumstances. Have mercy on me. He knew what he needed. And for that he prayed. He was specific. And he knew that if he would have mercy from the Lord, that mercy would relieve his situation. It would change his situation. You see, he comes to the Lord asking mercy, and Jesus answered, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He's specific in his request, Lord, that I might receive my sight. When we come to the Lord, we've got to be specific in our praying. Pray directly to Him and pray specifically for those things that we desire. This faith prayer. But you'll notice it was a determined prayer. For in verse 48, as soon as he began to cry out, many charged him that he should hold his peace. We're told in Matthew's Gospel that they rebuked him. People round about him rebuked him. They charged him to hold his peace. They told him to keep quiet. Not trouble the Lord. But you see what he did? He cried the more. A great deal. Made a great deal about this. He cried all the more. He wasn't going to be put off. He knew who it was that was passing. He knew the Lord could make the difference. And he was determined in his prayer to obtain the ear of the Lord and to obtain the answer that only the Lord could give to him. His faith kept at it. His faith kept at it. He was determined. He wasn't going to be put off. Now, there's many times when we set ourselves to seek the Lord, to seek Him specifically. There's many times that we will be rebuked. There's many obstacles that we will face, many oppositions that will come against us in prayer. But faith perseveres. Faith keeps at it. Faith doesn't give up. He cried the more, a great deal. He cried the more, a great deal. His faith was determined in prayer. But it was also a prayer that had at heart the glory of God. Yes, he's praying for himself. He's praying for mercy that would relieve his pitiful situation. But underlying it all was the desire for the glory of God. How do we know that? Well, if you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, you'll find in Luke's account of the situation. Verse 43, the last verse of the chapter 18. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Glorifying God. A man will only glorify God for what he has received if that has been his desire before he received it. And he's crying for mercy that his situation might be relieved, that God would be glorified. That God would be glorified. Yes, he received his sight. His life was transformed from that moment onwards. What a difference there was in this man's life from that moment onward. But you see, he's glorifying the Lord. He's giving the glory to the Lord. And the Lord is exalted. And when they saw it, all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You know, I think it's interesting in Mark's Gospel, when this account is given at the end of the chapter, I think it's interesting where it's placed. Because immediately before this, we have a very similar situation. Look at verse 51. Jesus answered and said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" That's what the Lord said to blind Bartimaeus. If you come back to verse 36, we read very similar words. The only difference is the plural, the number. And he said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" Verse 35 gives us the background. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And he said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" And they said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory." Jesus said, verse 39, verse 40, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." They didn't receive that. They didn't receive it. And isn't it interesting that immediately after that incident, we have the incident of blind Bartimaeus? I think the Lord is teaching us something there. Here's the two disciples and they're requesting of the Lord, and the Lord says, "What will you have me to do for you?" But they didn't receive what they had requested. And yet here we have this blind man in a terrible situation, and he's praying for mercy that he might receive his sight, and the Lord says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. See, the difference, I believe, is the motive that underlies the request. And in all our praying, we must seek the glory of God. We must seek the glory of God. And we must seek what will best glorify the Lord. You know, Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, prayed that it might be removed. But the Lord said, "Paul, that's not what will most glorify me. What will most glorify me is my grace prevailing in your weakness." And Paul submitted because he knew the glory of the Lord was the most important thing. But this man prayed with a desire for God's glory. So he had a faith that perceived, and he had a faith that prayed. But notice finally, his faith was a faith that prevailed. You see, Jesus stood still. He didn't stand still for anybody else in the city or that great crowd that had gathered round him, but he stood still for this man, for this poor blind beggar. Jesus stood still. That tells me he had a faith that prevailed. It prevailed with the Lord. Remember Jacob? When he was wrestling, he prevailed. He had power with God, and he prevailed with God. His faith prevailed so much so that the Lord Jesus stood still. He stood still to listen to this man, to listen to his cry. And then we find that his faith brought him into the immediate presence of Christ, because the Lord commanded him to be called. And verse 49, they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. See, he's brought now right into the immediate presence of Christ. He's brought nearer to the Lord. His faith prevailed. And you can see his faith there, because it says he cast away his garment. Why does it put that in? I believe it puts it in because it's an expression of his faith. He's throwing away this garment that he had to use to sit on by the wayside. And he now knows, I'm not going to need this anymore. I don't need this anymore. And he threw it away. Because if I can get to him, if I can get to the Lord, if the Lord will hear me, then the difference will be made. I'll not need this anymore. I'll not need to sit by the wayside begging anymore. He cast it away. His faith prevailed. He received the Lord's answer in verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him. He received the answer from the Lord. You know, the Lord will always answer faith. Faith that cries to him. That faith will bring the Lord to a standstill. That faith will bring us into the presence of Christ. And that faith will receive the Lord's answer. It will receive the Lord's answer. And what an answer it was. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What if the Lord were to come tonight in person? If he were to come physically, as he did in Jericho, what if he were to come tonight and he were to say to each one of us, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What would you ask the Lord for? Well, this man knew immediately. There was no hesitation here with this man. He didn't have to say, Well, Lord, let me think about it. No, he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know, that's what the Lord is saying to us tonight, who have faith. He's saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What will you have me to do? What is it that you want me to do? You see, faith receives the answer. But added to this, his faith received the Lord's touch in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And verse 34. Matthew's account of this incident tells us concerning the two men now. The two men are mentioned here. Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. See, the Lord put his hand upon them. That's how this man's faith prevailed. It brought the Lord to a standstill. It brought him into the immediate presence, the nearer presence of Christ. It received the Lord's answer. And it brought the Lord's touch upon him. The Lord touched his eyes. And then we discover that it brought the instantaneous miracle. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He was made whole. His faith was rewarded. He received what he asked for. he was made whole. The Lord honors faith. The Lord is pleased with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But faith pleases the Lord. And if we will but trust the Lord, we will trust Him, then we will find that faith will always prevail. And faith will bring the needed answer. It will bring the needed grace. The faith that brought Christ to a standstill was a faith that perceived who He was and what He could do. It was a faith that prayed. And it was a faith that prevailed. Lord, increase our faith and give to us the faith that blind Bartimaeus had for Thy name's sake.